Right now, there is a single software platform that is quietly managing trillions of dollars in the global property and casualty insurance market.
Trillions. Yeah, it's a massive scale.
It really is. We're talking about software that powers over 570 P&C insurers, and that's across 43 different countries.
Right. It's everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the secret to keeping that entire, massive system from just completely collapsing, it isn't actually just the code itself.
No, it's not.
It is a meticulously detailed, highly technical architectural blueprint, just sitting in a digital reference library.
Yeah, the documentation.
Right. So today we are doing a deep dive into the official Guidewire documentation for Insurance Software Success 2025 guide. And okay, let's unpack this because on the surface, reading about technical documentation sounds, well, like staring at a manual for an office printer.
It does sound a bit dry, yeah.
Totally dry. But our mission today is to uncover how mastering this specific set of documents is, like the ultimate career cheat code. It's essentially the master key to an $18 billion industry.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, implementing enterprise software at this scale is fundamentally about mitigating risk.
Mitigating risk, right.
Because you are looking at digital transformation projects that last anywhere from 18 to 36 months.
Wow, 3 years.
Exactly. They involve dozens, sometimes hundreds, of developers, business analysts, architects. And in that kind of high-stakes environment, the official documentation is really the only thing standing between a successful launch and a catastrophic headline-making failure.
That concept of risk is exactly where our source material starts today. It compares Guidewire documentation to things like JavaDoc for Java developers,
No.
or like the official React docs for web developers. It's the central technical reference. And it specifically points out that relying on this documentation replaces a really dangerous industry habit, what they call tribal knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Tribal knowledge is the silent killer of enterprise software.
It's a
Absolutely.
silent killer. How
Yeah.
so?
Well, it happens when the intricate details of, how we built this system exist entirely in the heads of just a few senior team members.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. On a 3-year implementation, those senior developers will inevitably get promoted, right? Or they leave for other jobs.
Right, people move on.
Exactly. And if they configure the system based on their own personal coding habits instead of the official Guidewire patterns, their work becomes a ticking time bomb.
Wow, a ticking time
Because
bomb.
undocumented configurations are virtually impossible to maintain once that person leaves the building.
The stakes there feel incredibly high. It's not just a software bug where, like, an app crashes on your phone and you just restart it.
No, not at all.
We are talking about financial risk that's kind of masked as technical debt.
Precisely.
Like, the source explains that if a developer misreads the documentation and misses a simple null check in the code.
Right, a really basic error.
Yeah. Meaning the system just forgets to verify if a policy is actually active before processing data. That isn't just a glitchy error message. That could automatically approve millions of dollars in fraudulent payouts before a human accountant ever even notices.
That is the exact reality. It's terrifying, frankly. And by forcing teams to rely strictly on the official documentation, you create a shared universal language.
Universal language, right?
Yeah, so when the business analyst defining the insurance rules and the integration developers building the connections and the architects designing the system, when they are all referencing the exact same definitions, development velocity actually increases.
Because they're all on the same page.
Exactly. The entire team moves faster because they aren't arguing over how a component should behave. The manual has already settled the debate.
But wait, I have some pushback on that. If these developers are highly skilled professionals, and I mean, some of them are making top-tier enterprise salaries, shouldn't they just know how to code?
You'd think so, right?
Yeah, like why do they need their hands held by a massive manual?
Well, that assumes they are writing in a generic language they've been practicing since university, which just isn't the case here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Guidewire relies on its own proprietary object-oriented scripting language. It's called Gosu.
Gosu.
Right. Now, Gosu is built on the JVM, the Java Virtual Machine, so it borrows heavily from Java concepts, but it is entirely specialized for insurance business logic.
So it's custom built for insurance.
Exactly. You cannot just intuitively guess your way through it. You have to know how Gosu specifically handles things like dates, currency arrays, policy
Oh,
validations.
I see.
So the documentation isn't hand-holding. It is the literal dictionary for a language you simply cannot speak otherwise.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. It sounds like trying to build a, I don't know, a 10,000-piece Lego Death Star.
Rare.
But half the team is just guessing where the pieces go instead of looking at the instruction booklet.
That is a perfect analogy.
So once you accept that you have to follow the blueprint, you can start looking at the actual structure being built.
Mm-hmm.
And the source breaks down the core platform, which is known as Guidewire Insurance Suite.
Right, the insurance suite.
And rather than looking at it like a digital house with rooms, it actually functions much more like a massive interconnected factory assembly line.
The assembly line is a great way to visualize it because the insurance suite is broken down into distinct, highly specialized modules.
Like what?
Well, you have Policy Center, which is kind of like the design floor. This is where policies are created, rated, and administered.
Okay, Policy Center. Got it.
Then you have Claim Center, which acts like the warranty department. It handles the entire life cycle of a claim from the moment a customer reports an incident to the final payout.
Right. Huh.
And then there's Billing Center. That's the accounting department. It manages premium collection, automatic disbursements, tracking delinquency if someone misses a payment.
So those are the three main modules.
Yes. But binding them all together is Contact Manager.
Contact Manager.
Right. It's a shared database schema that defines universal entities like a person, a company, or a place. This ensures every department is looking at the exact same customer data.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Let's walk through how these modules actually interact in a real-world scenario for you listening.
Yeah.
Imagine a massive oak tree falls through a customer's roof during a storm.
A total nightmare for the homeowner.
Exactly. So the customer calls their insurer in a total panic. That triggers what the industry calls an FNOL, the first notice of loss.
Right, the FNOL.
So what exactly is happening on this digital assembly line the moment that call connects?
Well, the moment the agent types in the customer's name, Contact Manager pulls up their global profile. Claim Center immediately opens the FNOL record and pings Policy Center in real time.
It talks to the design floor.
Exactly. It essentially asks Policy Center, hey, did this customer purchase a policy that covers falling trees, and is that policy active today?
And then Policy Center checks the rules.
Yep. Policy Center runs through its GOSU validation rules, confirms the coverage, and sends a green light back to Claim Center.
Wow, instantly.
Instantly. Claim Center then initiates a complex activity framework. It assigns an adjuster, schedules an inspection, and sets a reserve amount for the expected repair cost. All automatically.
That's incredible. And if a developer is tasked with configuring that exact workflow, the source material gives a very specific roadmap on where to start.
Oh, absolutely.
It says you have to begin with Policy Center. Because it is the absolute heart of the implementation, it is the most heavily documented.
Right.
The logic there is that once you understand how to build a user interface, what they call PCF screens, in Policy Center, those exact same configuration patterns will apply when you move over to Claim Center or Billing Center.
It definitely sets the baseline. But the most critical warning the documentation gives to any new developer is to read the data model guide before writing a single line of GOSU code.
The data model guide. Why is that one so important?
Because it defines the exact relationships between every piece of information. For example, a policyholder can have multiple vehicles on one policy, right?
Sure, like a family plan.
Exactly. And each vehicle can have multiple authorized drivers. That is a complex one-to-many relationship. The guide also details things called type lists.
Type lists?
Yeah, they are basically enumerated lookup tables. Instead of letting a user type in roof damage or roof broken into a free text field, a type list forces them to select a standardized code.
Oh, I see. Because if you just let people type whatever they want, the system can't automate anything. It has no idea how to categorize the claim.
Precisely. The system needs structured data. If a developer ignores the data model guide and tries to force a custom relationship into the database,
let me guess, it breaks.
Well, the system might actually accept it temporarily, but during the next major data migration or system upgrade, those undocumented custom database entries will quietly corrupt thousands of policies.
Oh, wow. That's terrifying.
It is.
So you've got this incredibly precise, beautifully documented assembly line working perfectly in isolation. But an insurance company doesn't exist in a vacuum, you know?
No, it has to connect to the world.
Right. It has to ping third-party repair shops, verify data with the DMV, or run credit card transactions through a payment gateway. And that brings us to the nervous system of Guidewire, the APIs, the integrations, and the data streams.
Yeah, the integration framework. This is where the documentation really reaches its highest level of complexity.
Oh, so?
Because Guidewire has to operate as a bridge between the future and the past.
That's a cool way to phrase it.
Well, think about it. To communicate with modern customer mobile apps or web portals, it uses lightweight REST APIs. These use JSON payloads and modern OF 2.0 security protocols.
Standard modern tech.
Right. But an insurer still has to communicate with, say, a state DMV database that might have been built in 1998.
Oh, yeah, I see the problem.
For those legacy connections, Guidewire relies on older SOAP web services. That means heavy XML schemas and WSDL files. The integration developer literally has to be fluent in both eras of technology.
The source also dives into their Kafka-based messaging framework, which handles these asynchronous, event-driven changes.
Kafka is brilliant for this.
Yeah, my analogy for Kafka is like a town crier in a medieval village.
Oh, I like that.
Right. When a major event happens, let's say billing center processes a premium payment and officially binds a policy, the system doesn't like personally tap every other department on the shoulder to tell them.
Right, that would be too slow.
Exactly. It just steps into the town square and shouts out, "Policy 123 is bound." And then any external system or internal module that cares about that news can just listen to the town crier and react in real time.
See, the architectural genius of that town crier approach is decoupling.
Decoupling.
Yeah, if billing center have to directly communicate with every external reporting system and one of those external systems went offline,
the whole thing crashes.
The entire billing process would just freeze. But with Kafka event streaming, billing center just shouts the message into the void and goes right back to work. It prevents a failure in some minor external integration from crashing the core insurance engine.
That is incredibly smart. And the platform's approach to these connections is evolving pretty quickly, too. The documentation details the Guidewire Cloud platform, which now includes an integration gateway.
Yes, the integration gateway is huge.
The source says this gateway houses over 290 pre-built technology partner integrations.
That's a massive library.
But wait, if there are nearly 300 pre-built connectors just sitting there, ready to be turned on, doesn't that render the integration developer's job kind of obsolete? I mean, if you can just plug and play a payment gateway, why do you need an expert poring over API documentation?
What's fascinating here is that the pre-built connectors actually elevate the developer's role.
Really?
Yeah, it shifts them away from writing tedious boilerplate connection code and actually turns them into system architects.
Oh, because they're managing the bigger picture.
Exactly. The gateway gives you the pipe, but you still have to design what flows through it. Integration developers must master how data maps from a third-party JSON payload directly into Guidewire's strict internal data model.
They still have to translate it.
Right. They are using tools like Postman to stress test APIs and OpenAPI to document custom endpoints. So the developer isn't just writing connections anymore. They are designing highly secure, fault-tolerant data highways.
Which perfectly explains why the physical location of these data highways is shifting. You have this massive system processing real-time API calls from all over the world.
Right?
And if that system lives on a physical server in an insurance company's basement, it has a hard physical limit.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if a massive hurricane hits the coast and a million claims are filed through the mobile app in 6 hours, that basement server is going to melt down. It just cannot scale.
No, it would crash instantly.
And that physical limitation is forcing the entire industry into what the source calls the Great Cloud Migration.
The transition from on-premises hardware to the cloud is fundamentally reshaping the industry. We are talking about moving to the Guidewire Cloud Platform, or GWCP, which is a fully managed SaaS offering.
Of software as a service.
Exactly. According to our source material, over 150 insurers have already made the jump, and the momentum is only accelerating.
And the technology under the hood of GWCP is built entirely for that hurricane-level scalability. It runs on Kubernetes clusters and Docker containers.
Right, modern cloud infrastructure.
So instead of relying on one massive server, the software is containerized. If traffic spikes, Kubernetes automatically spins up hundreds of identical, isolated containers to handle the load.
And then instantly shuts them down when the storm passes.
Exactly. But the most staggering shift mentioned in the source is the upgrade cycle. In the old world, upgrading enterprise software was a multi-year, multi-million-dollar nightmare.
It was awful. Nobody wanted to do it.
Right. But now, Guidewire has shifted to continuous quarterly releases. And they name them alphabetically after ski resorts: Aspen, Banff, Cortina.
Yeah.
So what does this all mean?
It means the static printed manual is dead. The documentation is now a living organism that changes every 3 months.
Every 3 months. How does an insurer survive a quarterly upgrade cycle without breaking their entire custom-built system 4 times a year? For a multi-billion dollar platform, that sounds like pure chaos.
It would be chaos without the cloud upgrade documentation.
Another manual.
Yes. This specific set of guides introduces the absolute necessity of CI/CD pipelines. That's continuous integration and continuous deployment.
Right.
Teams are required to build automated testing protocols. So when the cloud platform pushes the new Banff release to replace the old Aspen release, the system automatically runs thousands of simulated claims and policy scenarios.
It tests itself.
Exactly, it tests itself. Furthermore, for companies making that initial jump from their basement servers to the cloud, the documentation mandates severe pre-migration audits.
Pre-migration audits.
Right. You cannot just lift and shift your old Gosu code into the cloud. You have to audit every single custom script to see if it complies with the new cloud-native APIs.
All of this sophisticated architecture, the containerized cloud scaling, the proprietary Gosu business logic, the event-driven Kafka messaging, it requires an absolute army of specialists to build and maintain.
An army is the right word.
And that brings us to the human scale of this deep dive. The careers, the friction, and the massive economic engine driving it, which is largely centered in India.
The sheer volume of human capital dedicated to reading and executing this documentation is staggering.
Yeah, the source says the global P&C insurance software market is projected to hit $18 billion by 2029.
Right, and to actually deliver these multi-year transformations, the industry relies really heavily on global system integrators, or GSIs.
Companies like Accenture, Cognizant, Infosys, Capgemini.
Exactly. These tech giants employ thousands of guideware specialists across development centers in India. They are the ones taking the core platform and molding it to fit the specific legal and business requirements of insurers across North America and Europe.
And the financial incentives for mastering this specific documentation are massive. For you listening, if you are analyzing tech job markets or considering a pivot, the numbers tell the whole story.
They really do.
A fresher in India, so someone straight out of university, can start between 4 to 7 lakhs per annum.
Which is a solid starting salary.
Definitely. But if they master the data model, learn to architect integrations, and climb the ranks to become a Guidewire architect, that salary skyrockets to 30 to 50 plus lakhs per annum.
It is an incredibly lucrative niche because the barrier to entry understanding that complex documentation is so high.
But the reality on the ground is full of friction, isn't it? The source material is very transparent about the daily challenges these massive distributed teams face.
Oh, for sure.
Because when you have offshore development teams in India coordinating with onshore business analysts in New York or London, communication gaps are inevitable.
Inevitable. But this raises an important question.
Wait, I actually have a question about that. If the official Guidewire documentation is the ultimate, non-negotiable, single source of truth, why is there friction? If everyone just reads the manual, shouldn't the entire process be foolproof?
And that raises an important question about how software evolves in real time. The biggest trap developers face isn't ignoring the manual, it's reading the wrong manual.
The wrong manual.
Yeah. The industry calls this the version differences trap. A developer might be referencing the documentation for the brand new Cortina release, but the client they are working for is still running on the older Aspen release.
Oh, no.
Yeah. An API endpoint or a Gosu function that works perfectly in the new documentation might behave entirely differently or simply not even exist in the system they are actually typing into.
That is the ultimate frustration. You follow the instructions flawlessly, but you are looking at the instructions for a car built 2 years in the future.
Exactly. And the complexity multiplies when you introduce third-party vendors.
Well,
say you are integrating a new document management system from an external partner. That partner provides their own documentation on how to connect to Guidewire.
Okay, sounds normal.
Sure, but often that partner's documentation makes incorrect assumptions about how Guidewire's internal data model works.
Oh, I see.
So the source provides a golden rule to solve this exact problem. Whenever third-party documentation conflicts with Guidewire's official documentation, Guidewire's guidance always wins.
It trumps everything else.
Always. The core platform's blueprint must absolutely override a plugin's blueprint.
Because you wouldn't let the plumber installing a sink tell the structural engineer to tear down a load-bearing wall.
Great analogy, yes.
You always defer to the master blueprint. Which brings us to the end of our deep dive today. Let's recap why this matters to you.
Right.
Maybe you are prepping for an IT strategy meeting and need to understand the hidden risks of technical debt. Maybe you are looking to break into the booming GSI tech scene and want to know where the highest value skills are located.
Or maybe you are just fiercely curious about the invisible, highly complex systems that process the world's insurance policies while we sleep.
Exactly. Whatever your reason, understanding that Guidewire's documentation is not just a user manual, but the literal scaffolding of an $18 billion industry. It entirely shifts how you view enterprise technology.
It emphasizes a vital lesson for the modern tech landscape. In systems of this magnitude, deep reading comprehension, strict adherence to architectural standards, and a commitment to continuous learning are just as critical as the ability to write a clever piece of code.
And as we look toward the future of this industry, the source leaves us with a detail tucked into the future scope section that I find deeply compelling.
The AI piece.
Yes. It mentions the impending arrival of AI-assisted documentation.
That is going to change everything.
It really is. It outlines a near future where AI tools are integrated directly into the developer's workspace, analyzing the context of what they're trying to build, auto-generating API references, and providing real-time Gosu code suggestions based on the entire 10,000-page library.
The implications of that are profound. If an AI model has already ingested, perfectly memorized, and instantly cross-referenced the entire Guidewire library across every single version release,
the human's role fundamentally transforms.
Yeah, it has to.
Exactly. It leaves you with this provocative thought. Will the future role of a Guidewire developer shift entirely? Will they stop being coders who meticulously navigate complex manuals to write syntax and instead become, like, AI prompters.
Right. Translating the business needs.
Yeah. Will their true value just be their ability to listen to the messy, complicated human business logic of an insurance policy and simply translate that intent for an AI that already knows the blueprint by heart?
It's a fascinating question.
It makes you wonder, when the AI becomes the master architect, do we still need to know how to read the blueprint, or do we just need to know exactly what kind of building we want to live in?